Alaha. Aha. Alaha. Aha. Aha. Alaha. Aha. Aha. Alaha.
Es el motor, mami.
Es el motor.
Bienvenidos a su programa Espejos de Aztlán. Mi nombre es Cristina Bachín. Welcome to your Espejos de Aztlán show. My name is Cristina Bachín and today we have some special guests. Let's see if you can guess who these guardians are.
Lo que yo siento, así de simple, porque es sincero. Canto a la alegría, no le canto al dinero, no. Así de simple, voy para adelante y es mi lengua.
When I was preparing this show, I was thinking, we are after Thanksgiving. It's time to thank somebody. And there are so many organizations and leaders and people serving our New Mexican community. But I wanted to choose, really, these guardians, the guardians of children, Rio Grande, the Rio Grande chapter in New Mexico. And I want to really welcome these bikers, Classic, Wizard, and Tess. Thank you so much for coming today.
Thanks for having us here.
Thank you, and for being able to share what's your service, particularly in our community. And these guardians of the children actually are like these groups of bikers that you see in the street. And sometimes since I came to the country, I was wondering, what do these people do around the country and in this case, in the region? And we are here with Classic, Wizard, and Tess. And I would like to, whoever of you wants to share a story that impact you the most, particularly during this community service that is to advocate, to educate the public, and to react to child abuse. Something that you have still on your heart.
We all have a story of why we're doing what we do. In my personal case, and the reason that I'm doing this is my granddaughter was abused. And I saw what it does to families and the impact it has on the whole family dynamics. I am blessed that I have a large, very large extended family that was there for my granddaughter when we could not be. It took me many years to realize that I need to get out and advocate and become that extended family to people that don't have that. And that is the particular reason why I became involved with this amazing organization.
And what did you, Wizard or Tess, made you join this organization and work for this cause?
Well, this is Wizard, and about 3 or 4 years ago, my wife and I decided we wanted to buy some motorcycles, so we did. We were preparing for our retirement. And so as we were preparing for our retirement, as it got closer, we had our motorcycles, and we were looking around the community for something we could do to give back to our community. It was important for us because we were blessed in our working years and in our retirement years, and so we thought we need to do something to give back. So what we did is we looked around the New Mexico to see what the different biker organizations had, because we wanted to use our motorcycles in some fashion to give back to the community. So we looked at several organizations and came across the Guardians of the Children, and it would just touched our heart. It was an amazing organization to see all these bikers who were so concerned about children who had been abused, physically, sexually, or mentally abused. And so we thought about it. We thought, what more perfect thing could we do to enjoy our motorcycles and at the same time give back to our community? And so that's what we did. We joined the Guardians. They welcomed us in. And as a result, we have just been blessed to be able to help these children who've gone through some very difficult situations in their life.
Why is it that bikers are so involved in this kind of topic?
Well, bikers, even though they have a stigma of being tough and mean and rough,
yes,
we have big hearts for children, especially young children who have been abused either sexually, physically, or mentally. We just love to take care of them. They're the future of our country. And we need to make certain that these children are protected.
We're going to share a little bit of a song, and I would like then to know what made Tess to join this organization.
Esta hora exactamente hay un niño en la calle. Hay un niño en la calle. Es honra de los hombres proteger lo que crece.
We are listening to this song that is Canción para un niño en la calle, or a song for a child who lives in the street. And this is Mercedes Sosa with René Pérez from La Calle 13. And this is a song that really gives a tribute to children in a different kind of abuse. This particular is the economical and the poverty. And we are here with the guardians of children in Espejos de Aztlán, with their biker's name, Classic, Wizard, and Tez, and we are on Espejos de Aztlán. My name is Cristina Bachín. You can send your comments on KUNM Radio Facebook page, where we have the announcement of this show. And we were wondering, we were talking about how did you join a biker's organization that takes care of abused children. In your case, Tess, what made you join this kind of community service?
I grew up overseas, and I had a lot of involvement with church and school and things of that nature. And when I moved to New Mexico, I stopped doing a lot of things that I used to do. I stopped giving back quite so much. And when I got a motorcycle, looking around online, looking around the area, talking to people, the Guardians popped up. They kind of just dropped themselves in front of me. Learning more about who the Guardians were at the time made me really aspire to be one. There's nothing more amazing than writing to a child that you've worked with and seeing their face light up because they have that sense of security. And I wanted to be a part of that. I wanted to give that sense of security to a child and just let someone know that they can have a shoulder to lean on, they can have someone to talk to, and just be there as support as time went on.
You protect and work with children in different moments, isn't it? And this Guardians of Children organization is not only there just to make the show of protection, is to really to protect children. And in the case of prevention, what are the steps that, let's tell to one of our listeners who is listening this, because Sam is puzzling on his head that he might or she might be able to help somebody who might be suffering some abuse. We're talking about children. What would you suggest to this, to the family, to somebody who is around to do in order to prevent? What are the symptoms, the signs that they should look for?
The number one thing I could say is believe your child. Children are not programmed to tell lies or distruths. They don't know how. That's a learned thing. Trust your children when they tell you. Believe when they say something's not right or you see them upset about having to visit somebody. You don't understand why. Stop, talk to them, listen to them, and believe them. We wear a patch. And it sums up what you're talking about. And it says, do not let your silence drown out their cries. We need to speak up. If you see your child having an issue, speak up. Find out why. Take them for some help if they need it. Through psychologists, there's many, many, many resources. Use them resources. Let's find out what's wrong with your child. You may discover that when you speak up, you have saved hundreds of other children that would have been abused if you wouldn't have spoken up.
That's so very true. From a personal experience with my wife, she was, as a child, abused by her, as she says, her biological father. And as it turned out, that haunted her throughout her life, even to this day. And one of the things that Classic just said was, when you speak up and you present that scenario to authorities, to the parents, whatever it happens to be, you stop that person from continuing that action. And my wife, through her speaking up, stopped the action of her biological father from continuing what he was doing to other children. So it's extremely important to listen to your children, be aware of where they're at, what they're doing.
It takes a lot of courage to do that, isn't it?
It takes a lot of internal strength. And it takes a lot of strength for the parent to take the next step. And that's probably the next most important thing after you've talked to your child. Take the next step and report that to the authorities. Because in years past, child abuse was running rampant, frankly. And it was something that just swept aside. You didn't talk about it in a family.
It was always silent.
It was always silent. And today we have the wherewithal to protect these children through CYFD, Children, Youth, and Family Departments, to your police, to your counselors, and the list goes on. So the resources are there. And so when you talk about prevention, be aware of what's going on with your child. Get that information to the proper authorities, and it will stop. That's our goal, to see child abuse stopped. That's our mission.
Child abuse is one of the crimes that have been happening for millennia. So what's going on now that we can speak up, really?
Well, one of the things that we want to see changed in New Mexico are the child abuse laws. Child abuse laws are too lenient. There's too much discretion in what can be done to these perpetrators when they've been found guilty. So we are advocates for seeing the child abuse laws changed in New Mexico. And so we're hoping that this year at our state legislature we'll see some of these proposed laws that are coming or being put forward to improve the legislation to protect these children will be enacted.
After this musical cut, I want to talk with you about what happens when a child is brought to a trial, and what do you do when that's happening. And you are listening on Espejos de Aztlán. Today we have a special, an organization to which I want to especially thank, which is and particularly with this Thanksgiving time. And I want to thank the Guardians of Children. And in this case, we are with Classic, Wizard, and Tess, their biker's name, of this organization, the Rio Grande chapter. And this is in New Mexico. And my name is Cristina Bachin. You can send your comments to our Q&M Facebook page or to our telephone number after we finish the interview at 277-5615. And we were talking just minutes ago about what's going on around laws in New Mexico that might help to prevent, to work through this very sensitive topic, which is child abuse. What we have available as laws, as legislation, is something helpful? Is it enough?
It's truly not enough. And what's happening this next week, if anyone's interested in attending a committee meeting on Wednesday, the Children's, Youth, and Family Department will be presenting five legislative priorities to the Courts, Corrections, and Justice Committee on Wednesday, December 2nd at 1:30 at the state capitol. And there's several issues that are being discussed, but the ones that are of most interest to us are the crimes against children penalties, which would expand the current law that's been called Baby Brianna's Law to provide a life imprisonment for anyone who intentionally abuses a child regardless of age, whether the child dies as a result of that intentional abuse. And there's a couple of others. I won't get into the details because we could go on forever about that. But if you're truly interested in supporting the child abuse laws in New Mexico, I would encourage anybody to go to that hearing and follow those laws that will be proposed. Right now they're in the draft stages, so they're taking testimony from interested parties.
One of the services that you do as bikers and as guardians of children, that this name is so powerful, as I read, is you accompany the child when he or she has to testify, which I can imagine, only imagine, that it has to be something so scareful and so difficult for a child to face, in this case, if it is to face the abuser or the predator in front. What can we share some of the services that you do, that you did, that impact you the most? Some story on which you had to do this, and what did it happen?
I would love to share that story with you, because that is the most difficult time, and I know Taz has something he wants to share with you also. But let me tell you, that is the scariest thing there is, not just for the child, but for the family. Going into a traffic court is difficult for an adult. Can you imagine a child now that is being required to point out who hurt them, who abused them? Most of the time, no family member is allowed to be there. Most of the time, they are subpoenaed, and I'm talking mom, dad, who immediate family. That is where we step in and where we do our best work. We get to know this child way before they go to court. We hang out with them. We go to their house. We visit them birthday parties. We do whatever we can to get to know that child. When in the biker community, when you call somebody brother or sister, you mean it. And these children become our little brothers and our little sisters. They get a patch. They are called little guardians. We will do anything in our power to protect that child. And after we've been around them for a little while, they understand that and they know that. Nobody will ever hurt me with my friends here, or my brothers and sisters, as we call each other. Yes, it is a scary place, but we are so proud of these children when they stand up, look the perpetrator in the eye, and point their finger and says, "That person hurt me." And then they look at us, and you can see the strength that we try to instill in them coming out. They're not afraid. And that is the number one thing we do, is empower these children to speak and not be afraid of anything. We also are extremely protective of them in the courthouse, courtroom environment. We do not allow anybody to visit with these children, not knowing, because we don't know who it is. We will not allow intimidation. The biker community itself does not get intimidated, so it doesn't work if you're trying to intimidate our own little brother and sister and the family. If we take the child, we take the family, because usually there's a lot of intimidation going on trying to keep them from testifying. We don't allow that to happen. And that's why we're extremely successful in with our children and our families in testifying. Taz has a little story that he was in court with one of our children. And he always talks about this. And Taz, I think you would love to share this.
Yeah, one of the most touching moments for me, we went to court with one of our little guardians. Now, the day before this court hearing, our little guardian said they didn't want to go to court. They were scared.
Oh, my God.
And as we do, we contact the family and let them know that that's okay if they don't want to go, but we're going to go. And it was for the sentencing for the monster that hurt them. And we told the family we were going. Well, the morning of the court hearing, our little guardian heard that. And so our little guardian did want to go. Our little guardian was able to pull out the courage and the strength to write a letter to the judge. going into detail of how this monster had made her feel. And that, when it comes to sentencing, again, as Wizard said, the laws, the loopholes, the cracks in the system are so large and the laws are so vague that the span of sentencing is ridiculous. It's, you're not talking maybe 1 to 2 years. You're talking 10-year variance in the laws and the sentencing. And it comes to the point that this young little guardian was able to write her feelings on paper, present them to the judge in the courtroom, and that impacted the sentencing. That meant that this awful act that had occurred was actually dealt with, and the family felt that justice was served. The family felt that, as a result, nothing will ever repair what was done, ever. But it was some kind of closure on the case for them. And it was the most rewarding thing. As we're walking out of the courtroom, Mom was in tears, Dad was shaking, but that little guardian walked out high, with their head high, and that little guardian felt strong and felt like they were able to do the right thing. And when they look at you and they say thank you as a 6, 10, 12-year-old individual, the thanks isn't just a small thank you. It's a heartfelt warmth that you can never, ever, ever explain. And there's nothing more rewarding as a guardian to come out knowing that you've helped a little child feel that way. And for me, that's one of the stories that will hold on forever, because over the span of 24 hours, we were able to help this young child, and we were able to go to court with them, and they walked out knowing that my family's got my back.
Is that the path for healing?
It helps. Again, nothing will ever be able to make these horrible things go away, but more comforting as time goes on.
As we explained to these children, they won the minute they step up on that bench and tell the world, if you will, that person hurt me. They've already won. Why? They spoke out. They become a hero, a huge hero, because speaking out, they have saved hundreds of other children. Statistics show that approximately 100 children are abused before the abuser is caught.
100.
At least 100. That's the statistics show. So we let them know that. You are a hero. You just stopped them from abusing other children in doing this. So they feel so empowered when they leave there.
If a listener wants to contact you or to have more information, how can they meet you or find you online or a telephone? How can they get in contact with you?
There's many ways. We have a Facebook page. We have Guardians of the Children, Rio Grande. We have our national page, Guardians of the Children, which will direct you to every state in the country that has chapters and how many chapters. By the way, here in New Mexico, we have 3 chapters right now.
When was it founded?
The Guardians of Children was founded in 2006 in San Antonio, Texas, by 2 amazing people that realized that the kids needed a little more than the law enforcement could provide, which is time with them and a feeling of protection that we could spend time with these children that they couldn't.
So in just 9 years, you are spread in the whole country.
We're in 34 states now and in Canada. We've got people all over the world trying to start chapters. We are a nonprofit, so it makes it difficult in some areas of the country. But I'm sure that those will be ironed out and we will see chapters all over the country. And the world, I should say.
I want to really thank you for your service, but particularly for bringing this from your heart to empower children. And also, I guess, also empower some adults who are around those children that child abuse doesn't happen just with one child in the family. There are other people involved there. I want to really thank for your task, to give you my congratulations. Thank you so much, Classic, Wizard, and Tez.
Thank you.
And whoever wants to get in touch with Guardians of the Children, the chapter of Rio Grande, you can go on guardiansofthechildren.com. You can find the organization, also the Facebook page. Also, whoever can also contact you through that.
We also have a local website. It is at gocriogrande.com, and that will provide you with all the contact information for everyone here in Albuquerque.
And we have a phone number.
Okay.
And I'm going to give you the phone number. And this is my personal phone number, and you can contact me anytime, any questions, anything we can do. It is area code 505-977-9208.
Thank you so much, Classic 4, giving your telephone number just to contact somebody who is listening and who would like to have a talk with you.
Well, and if anything to protect the child, we will do.
Thank you so much for your service.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Tenía 10 años y un gato peludo, funámbulo y necio.